Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. June 15, 2023. Egoism is the stimulus of progress. Question: throughout history, people on different continents, with no connection to each other, invented the same things, for example, bows and arrows, chariots, etc. Is it embedded in the information data of a person? Answer: of course. It is rooted in egoism. By developing to a certain level, it requires a certain filling and then invents a chariot, then requires an even more specific filling and invents gunpowder, guns, and so on. The growth of egoism causes this need in a person. Question: so there is some layer of information that contains a record that now you need, say, to create a bow to kill an animal? Answer: yes, I'm starting to realize that I need to kill the animal from a distance. To do this, I need to get to it, as if I touch it with my hand, and hit it. Instead of a sharp stick, I kill it with an arrow. How can I launch an arrow? From my observations, I begin to understand how to make a bow. Previously, I already had some items, for example, a bowstring, which I use in various everyday activities. But this is egoism. Everything is based on the ego. Otherwise, I would not understand how to invent this or that innovation. Why doesn't a dog or cat use a bow and arrow? Because there is a difference in our egoistic development, nothing more. Why does a person have arms, legs, eyes, and ears and exist in this form? This is how egoism shapes us. One's personal properties form the body of each of us and all the qualities of a particular person. From CapTV's I Got a Call. Evolution of Egoism, May 7, 2011. Should one believe in dreams? Question: why does a person need dreams? Answer: dreams are in some way an overload of the brain, a sorting out of the impressions experienced by a person that need a certain sensory and mental rearrangement within him. Question: people have even compiled dream books, books that explain dreams and predict the future. You dreamed it, so it will be like this. What are these dreams that come true? Answer: I personally don't believe in it, I never delve into it and have nothing to do with it. It was the same with my teacher. When I asked him anything about it, he said that Kabbalah has nothing to do with dreams or their explanation. Question: you once told me that your teacher Rabesh predicted the future, and then it came true. Does an ordinary person some kind of maneuver in life? Or should he not believe the predictions and think about it? Answer: I do not know what to say about this. The fact is that one day my fellow student visited a fortune teller, who, among other things, said about our common teacher Rabesh that she no longer sees him beyond 1994. And so it turned out, although there were no prerequisites for this. Question: did you talk about this with Rabesh? Answer: yes. He said he didn't want to take it into account. That is, the correct approach of a person walking the spiritual path is not to take such things into account. From CabTV's Blitz of Kabbalah Tips, May 18, 2023. They're already here. Question: many films are being released now that more or less correctly talk about the perception of reality. Does this have something to do with the dissemination of Kabbalah? Answer: this is due to the development of egoism, which is looking for and actually anticipates that its next level goes beyond our dimension. Comment: but now it is already perceived normally. If you had talked about this 10 years ago, people would have doubted it. But today there are a lot of explanations why we perceive ourselves this way. My response: but the common person still looks at you strangely or thinks, what do I care about what exists? It may be there, but what have I to do with it? Until aliens arrive, as they say, they are already here. Comma, while they are still flying to us and will fly millions of space years, we will not worry. From CapTV's I Got a Call. They're already here. May 7th, 2011. Consequence of the growth of egoism. Question. The main discoveries in the history of humanity occurred at the time when one of the Kabbalists was appearing in the world. For example, when the Ari appeared, the Renaissance era and the discovery of lands began. During the time of Balhaas-Ulam there was a very strong development of science and technology. Why exactly do Kabbalists have such an impact on progress? Answer, it is not they who influence progress, but the general plan of nature leads to further development. Humanity develops gradually. First, there is an accumulating process and then an ascent, again an accumulating process and an ascent, according to the four phases of the development of desire. The four phases are divided into for more, and for more, and so on. Or, you can say, five, including the root. It turns out that the leap of egoism, which develops and then rises qualitatively, causes the appearance of Kabbalists, scientists, and all kinds of revolutions in our world, cultural, social, and others. Kabbalists are souls who have risen to a new level of egoism, can begin to correct it, and thus attain the universe and enunciate it to others. All of this is based on egoistic growth. Kabbalists do not decide anything here. They themselves are a consequence of the growth of egoism. From CapTV's I Got a Call. Evolution of Kabbalists May 15, 2011. Remedy against wars. Question. You say that the screen balances the opposing forces and wars stop. How does this happen? Answer. The screen is an anti-egoistic force that everyone must cultivate in order to connect with others. In our world, we are only slightly inferior to each other because our egoism feels that it cannot exist without it. We have no other choice. Everything we do only for our own sake and not for mercy or goodness, because we would otherwise harm ourselves. We agree to a truce to do supposedly good deeds only because these actions will eventually give us the opportunity to survive. But as soon as we have a chance to subdue or suppress someone, we immediately take advantage of it. Everyone. Everyone is constantly looking around for such an opportunity. From CapTV's I Got a Call. What is war? April 16, 2011. The teacher. Question. You are a person with a certain character. How can you distinguish the spiritual in you and where are just the whims of your corporeal nature? Answer. I think it merges together. Naturally, I have a temper, irritability, and nervousness. But outwardly, this imposes only some kind of interface on the reaction, which, undoubtedly, is built on a spiritual vision. This is what is written about Kabbalists. My teacher Abasha knew how to restrain and hide his emotions. I knew what was happening, and looking at him, I was simply amazed at how he could do it. He had tremendous strength and the ability to suppress his external manifestations, the flashes of what was literally exploding in him. But he lived in a different time, in a different society. He was surrounded by strangers, opponents who did not love him, Kabbalah or his students. However, these were people near him who constantly communicated with him. In general, this is a problem. I have a different problem, I flare up and I pull everything out of myself. Perhaps it somehow makes me feel better later on, although, of course, I regret it very much. We are all people, no matter who is at what level, but still people. Rabash internally suffered a lot, but his students knew nothing about it. I was forbidden to talk about it, even if I saw something. As a result, at the end of his life he suffered several heart attacks because of this and died. Of course we could have prevented all this by correcting ourselves for many years, during which he restrained himself. He did not say anything to anyone, and did not point out any mistakes to them, only to me. Sometimes he pointed out to me in such a way that I would have been happy at that moment to disappear forever from the world. It was a terrible feeling of shame, of one's own insignificance. He knew how to create such a feeling in me with a single word, even with some gesture. Of course, this was not an external, but an internal gesture, since he was internally connected with me and could control me as he pleased. It is terrible to be next to a person who absolutely knows you and controls all your thoughts, desires, and impulses. You sit next to him, think about something, and he can tell you, "Let's switch to something else." Better not to know about this. Because when you get involved in common work with such a person, it is very obliging. But on the other hand, you feel like a child in the arms of a mother, naked, not ashamed of anything, and you give yourself to him and that is it. You understand that he does not manipulate you, but leaves you complete freedom of actions, and even more than that, he sees that you make mistakes and he worries. You keep making them because without them you will not learn anything. In general, what the upper part Suf experiences, that is, a teacher in relation to a student, is indescribable. In our global group, things are much simpler. This is a huge community, humanity, which I feel, take into myself, and therefore all this is softened in it, somehow leveled out due to the scale. From Cab TV's I got a call. Teacher, April 30th, 2011. Michael Leitman, on Quora. If your spouse has become too demanding and controlling, what can you do about it? Kiss him. It comes from the principle, love will cover all crimes. Similar to Eastern martial arts, we need to use our opponent's strength. Therefore, when your spouse bursts into complaints or throws accusations at you, kiss them. By so doing, you disarm them. However, unlike martial artists who wish to defeat each other, you have to act from the bottom of your heart. You find love by building it atop the hatred and impatience you feel in such situations. Based on the video, this martial arts wisdom will better your relationship with Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman.